Well, Martin Luther once said, there are three conversions necessary. Conversion of our hearts, conversion of our minds, and conversion of our purses. And that's what I'm going to preach about today, that third conversion, the conversion of our purses. Why? Because, do you know that Jesus spoke more frequently about money than any other subject except the kingdom of God? From his parable of the sower to his parable of the rich farmer. From his encounter with the rich young man to his encounter with the tax collector Zacchaeus. From his teachings on divine providence in his Sermon on the Mount to his teachings on the dangers of wealth in the Sermon on the Plain. In fact, the Bible is much more clear and straightforward about money than it is about many other issues. And as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, according to biblical teaching, there is for us a dark side to money, a side that tends to our destruction, and a light side to money, which is life-giving. First, the dark side. Jesus warns us, in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, no servant can be the slave of two masters. You cannot be the slave both of God and of money. Jesus says there that money is a god which is out to get our allegiance. And so the first thing as believers that we have to acknowledge from the get-go is the potentially destructive power of the spirit of money in our spiritual lives and our Christian discipleship. There is a dangerous power there behind money, which can do damage to our spiritual life and our discipleship. It's the first thing we have to acknowledge. And I'm not talking about money that is dirty money, money that is gained dishonestly. There is nothing to suggest in Jesus' encounter with the rich young man in Luke chapter 18 that he was rich because he was dishonest. In fact, quite the contrary, we are told that he is righteous. And yet, he went away from Jesus overcome with sadness because he was enslaved by his money. It prevented him from following Jesus and having that relationship with him. And in Luke chapter 16, in Jesus' parable about the rich man at whose gate the poor man Lazarus would lie, there is nothing in that story that suggests that the rich man was an evil person or that his wealth was ill-gained. Yet, he finds himself in torment in Hades because he served his money and possessions more than God to the neglect of the poor. And how about this from Luke chapter 12? Then Jesus told them a parable. There was once a rich man who, having had a good harvest from his land, thought to himself, "What am I to do? I have not enough room to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones and store all my grain and my goods in them. And I will say to my soul, 'My soul, you have plenty of good things laid by for many years to come. Take things easy. Eat, drink, have a good time.'" Now, most people would call this guy prudent. But listen to what Jesus says. "But God said to him, 'Fool, this very night the demand will be made for your soul. And this hoard of yours, whose will it be then?' So it is when someone stores up treasure for himself instead of becoming rich in the sight of God." So the point of all these teachings of Jesus is that as Christians, as believers in Jesus, as followers of Him, we need to learn how to use money without serving it. Our money must be brought into obedience to the will and the ways of God instead of us being obedient to money. And if we can do that, then our money can be something life-giving. 4 points about the light side of money. First, as Christians, as believers, we have to recognize the role of divine providence in our lives and to trust it. And that the things that we have are all gracious gifts from a loving God. You see, many factors in our business and economic lives are completely beyond our control. Just like the fishermen in our gospel today. They worked hard all night, and yet they caught nothing. It was only by the gracious gift of Jesus that they were enabled to net such a huge number of fish that their nets were tearing. And so, like them, we also live by grace. We live by grace. We're not only saved by grace, we live by grace. As St. Paul says in our second reading, what I am now, I am by the grace of God. And so, we do not have to grasp and grab frantically. There is one who cares for us as he cares for the birds of the air. Second, our money can enhance our relationship to God and bless humankind, expressing our love for our neighbor. There are many examples in the Gospels of people who used their money in such a way that it enhanced their relationship to the Lord. It brought them closer to the Lord. For example, the Magi used their wealth as a means of worship of the Lord. The poor widow gave sacrificially to the temple. She gave all that she had to live on to Jesus' blessing and approval. We read in Luke chapter 8 about women who provided for Jesus and the 12 out of their own resources. Joseph of Arimathea gave his new tomb for Jesus' burial. Nicodemus generously anointed Jesus' body for burial with costly spices. And when the tax collector Zacchaeus was freed by the love of Christ to begin transforming his treasure from earth to heaven, Jesus joyfully announced, "Today, salvation has come to this house." Because Zacchaeus was freed from the bondage of the spirit of money. And so Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. Third, as believers, we realize what God declares in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. The whole world is mine, he says. So, the house we live in is God's house. The car we drive is God's car. The garden we plant is God's garden. We are only temporary stewards of things that belong to another. And perhaps we should stamp everything we possess with the reminder, given by God, owned by God, to be used for the purposes of God. And that brings us to our fourth point. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, our money is to be used for God's purposes and to bless humankind and to glorify God. In fact, when we give generously from what God has provided for us, it is one of the chief weapons we have for conquering the false god of money who wants to dominate us. Giving generously is one of the chief weapons we have in conquering that God. We stand amazed at how God can use our meager efforts to do His work upon the earth. Resources are channeled to life-giving ministries. The helpless are helped. Projects that advance God's kingdom are financed. Great good is accomplished. See, we must look at our giving in light of Jesus' great missionary mandate, go out into the whole world and proclaim the good news. We must look at our giving as a way of making those beautiful words of Isaiah in our first reading our own. Here am I, send me. As stewards, we have the responsibility to use the money flowing through our hands in ways that will reap the greatest benefit for Christ and His kingdom. Remember, all that we have is from God's grace. So we want to say with St. Paul in our second reading, the grace that was given to me has not been wasted. And so when we give of our resources with glad and generous hearts, we are being used to help make a difference in the world. And that is worth living for and giving for. To the praise of divine providence, amen.